Hey there, and welcome to our Friday Bible study. This is a subsection of the Ribs and Knits podcast where you and I get to spend some time just reading the Bible. We're going to go through series where we read different books of the Bible, starting with Ephesians. Only a little 5, 7, 10 minute study where you and I just dive into the Bible a little bit together. But there is so much more for you than just these studies. Make sure you're spending time with the Lord every single day and hanging out with him and just hearing what he wants to say. If you're new to the Bible and you don't really understand it, I encourage you to go and check out season 2 of the Ribs and Knits podcast where we covered an episode on the Bible. My prayer is that these Friday studies really encourage you and help you grow in the word and help you understand the Bible a little bit more. These studies are a subsection of the podcast and these will happen every single Friday. So even when the podcast is on a break for different series, these will happen every Friday. So I hope you enjoy these and yeah, let's get stuck into the Bible together. Hello and welcome back to the Ribs and Knits Bible Studies. This happens every Friday. This is just a time where you and I get to hang out and read the Bible together. Today we're looking at Ephesians 6. I've been away, guys. I've been on a little trip to America. I've been in Louisiana, which is like the Bible Belt area. So it's been really interesting to come back to England and be around where people are like not in the Bible Belt. It's really cool to see people in different places. But today we're reading Ephesians 6, which is a little bit of a... it's a mishmash. It's got a few different topics it covers. And we go through children honouring their parents. We talk a little bit about slavery. We look a little bit about the armour of God. Like, there's a little bit of everything in here. So we're going to start off by reading Ephesians 6. So it starts off with children. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that if it may go well with you and you may enjoy a long life on earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Okay, so it starts off with honouring your mother and father, which is echoing this fifth commandment, which actually tells you, honour your mother and father. And in first century Greco-Roman Empire, it basically was a law that you had to obey your parents. Like, you are required to submit to what your parents told you to do. By the way, if I'm looking down, it's because I got my notes right here. But Paul's instruction is actually kind of changing that up a little bit and saying, instead of this being like a law, like you have to do it, like this is, it's kind of like a mutual submission thing. This is like a thing where it's saying, I want you to respect your parents, honour your parents. I want you to see your parents as something that you choose to honour and respect, rather than a law that is set down that you have to do whatever they say and you have to obey every word that they say. Like, you know what I mean? Which is sometimes really hard. Like, if there was a law to honour your parents, I'd be in jail. I'd be in jail so many times in my childhood and even probably now. I do not follow the way of my parents. I do not do what they tell me to do. There were times where I wasn't a Christian and my parents have like loved the Lord, and I probably would have gone to jail for having a different faith to them. You know, there are different times in my life where I can look back and say, that girl was gone to jail if she didn't honour her parents in the way that it was law to in the Greco-Roman Empire. So this mutual submission is just that this is like building blocks of the Christian faith. This also like is an image of what it's like with us and God. It's not law to follow God. It's free will to follow God. And so we're starting off here with choosing to honour our parents, and we choose to follow God if you want to. There's no laws now. And then it goes into slaves and masters. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favour with their eye, when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men, because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is a slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who both is both their master and that yours is in heaven, and there is no favouritism within him. So interesting that ends with that there is no favouritism within him. Like, the Lord doesn't have favourites. But on earth, there has been favourites. On earth, there has been where humans have decided to act unjustly. And here we're reading about the word slavery. This is not something we're going to just brush past. The word slavery is such a crazy thing that happened in the past and is actually still happening today. Modern slavery is still happening today. You just have to look at places like Congo and, you know, the Middle East, and you will see slavery is still happening today, and which is crazy. Like, it's such we need to be praying for this. Modern slavery should be on our lips. We should be thinking about this. But here we're reading about slavery that happened in the past, and you probably know people who've been affected in their family by slavery happening in the past. We cannot just brush over the past and ignore the wrong that humans have done. In the Bible, we see war, we see slavery, we see adultery, we see affairs and murder, among many other things. The Bible doesn't pretend that these things don't happen. It doesn't brush over it so that we think that God, you know, so that we think God's even better. You know, we don't brush over these things so it's like, oh, these things, you know, didn't happen, so, you know, Christianity is better. These things happened and they make Christianity true to me. We must learn to not repeat the sins of the past. We must learn that rather than ignoring what happened in the past, we choose to use it as an example of what not to do in the future. We don't want to bring slavery back. This is not Paul saying there must be slaves. He's actually just recognizing that there is slavery. And he's saying that if you are a slave, these are the ways to live. And if you are a master these are the ways to live. But he's not saying there must be slavery. He's not saying we must have slavery and these slaves must be acting in this way. He is just addressing something that is contextually happening at his time. And so when I read this, it reminds me that this is happening today. It reminds me that there is war, that there is slavery, that there is dishonor, that there is sin in the world. How can I partner with Jesus to fight these things? You might want to look up Recognized. They are a jewelry company that have a little pearl, which I'm not actually wearing today. I am still wearing their band. And you might want to look at buying one of their pearls and wearing it to remind you, because their pearl represents modern slavery, and it gives to, when you buy it, you give to modern slavery charities. You might want to buy that just so that every time you see it, you remind yourself to pray for people who are currently stuck in modern slavery. Or you might want to partner with some friends to pray about it. You might want to do some history lessons, look into how slavery has affected the world, how slavery affects us today. These are things that are really important and we can't brush over them. So we want to look at this, not ignore it. Think, how can I do better today? How can I not repeat the sins of the past? And so, yeah, I just wanted to touch on that. It's really important that we don't brush over these things. And then it goes into the armour of God, which we'll read a little bit of. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord, in his mighty power. Put the full armour of God so that you may stand strong against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against powers of dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of the evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. Then, with the belt of trust buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take up your helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions. It then carries on. So start off, it says in 6:10, be strong in the Lord. And this is similar to in the Old Testament, where the Lord gave charges to the Israelites before they went to war. And you can read about this in Deuteronomy 31 and Joshua 1. It literally just, he's basically giving you a battle cry. He's saying, be strong in the Lord. That is the first thing he says. Before you go and put anything on, before you plan your day, before you even think about any other thing, just be strong in the Lord. This is the first thing he says to us in this whole section. In 6:14, it then says the belt of truth. And a soldier's belt back in the day would hold up their breastplate, but also it gave a place for them to place their sword to hang. So this belt of truth is actually really important because it holds up your breastplate, which here is a breastplate of righteousness. So to hold up righteousness, it needs to be on truth. So you need to live a truthful life for righteousness to sit on. And then it holds your sword of the Spirit. So we need also truth to hold the spirit in. Like, we don't want to be dishonest people. We don't want to have the spirit living inside of us, but actually be speaking out of our mouth lies or anything that isn't what the spirit would agree with. So you want to be speaking out truth. Start everything with truth, every story with truth. Live out a life of truth so that the other things can actually stay in place. In 6:16, it says a shield of faith. This is your primary defense. You need faith to protect, it says, against the flaming arrows of the enemy. And so we need this shield to protect us. You know, the shield can be moved. We move it all around us. Oh, there's an arrow coming to my head. Oh, there's an arrow coming to my chest. This is my protection. We need faith. You need to have a strong faith. And if you're like, I don't really have faith, I don't really know what I'm doing with this whole thing, I just suggest you maybe look into doing an alpha course or listen to season 2 of the Ribs and Knits podcast or do something to start building that faith, building a structure of what you actually believe in, what you actually stand for. And this faith is the thing that's going to protect you against what the enemy's going to try and fight you with. But you need a strong core of faith to do that. And then in 6:17, it says a helmet of salvation. So our salvation is our assurance of our protection, our assurance that the Lord is protecting me, protecting what goes on in my head, protecting what goes on in my mind, protecting my future. I have an assurance of salvation because I have an assurance that he is protecting me now on earth, and he'll protect me when I go into when this life ends. There is a protection there, and that protection is given by knowing our salvation, knowing fully where we are going, knowing that this is not the end. This life is not the end. There is life after death, and my assurance is in the salvation that the Lord has given me. And then the sword of the Spirit. This is the sword of the Spirit is the weapon to help believers tell the gospel and fight attack. So this is, you know, when attack comes, I have the Spirit within me. I have the Spirit fighting against these attacks, but also I have the Spirit within me, so I can tell the gospel. You know, I can show people this is the weapon that is protecting me, and it can protect you too. If you want to fight with us, you're going to need the Spirit within you. And there's lots of people out there today who are Christians who haven't even welcomed the Holy Spirit into their life. And that it's so hard to protect yourself. It is so hard to go your whole life fighting for yourself. But I know that the Spirit within me is fighting for me. There's so many times where things aren't going right for me, or I have moments with friends that just don't feel great. And I just feel the bubbling of the Spirit within me come to fight my corner. There's been times where I'm like, oh, I just wish that person knew this thing about me. And they just turn up and they're like, I was talking to the Lord and I just felt like he was telling me like this thing about you. And I'm like, whoa, he is my advocate. He is going to fight for me. He's going to be in my corner because he loves me. And it's amazing what the Spirit will do for you and what the Spirit can say to you and how the Spirit can work in your life to ensure that you are being fought for, but also that you are, you know, being protected by him. And then in 6:18, it says, pray in the Spirit always. Prayer is part of the battle. You cannot have prayer as an afterthought. It can't be a thing that, like, I do just before I go to bed for 2 minutes. It needs to be like, oh, I'm heading into an exam. Let me pray in the Spirit. Oh, I'm having an argument with a friend. Let me pray in the Spirit. Oh, I'm about to go grab coffee with a friend. Let me pray. I just woke up. Let me pray. I've just read my Bible. Let me pray that the words in the Bible go straight to my heart. Like, we need to pray continuously, whether in good times, in bad times, before good moments, in bad moments. We just need to make sure that we're continuously praying, because we need to pray in the Spirit always. This is more of this pray in the Spirit always feels more like a command than anything else that's in this chapter. So make sure you're praying regularly, because it's part of your battle. It's part of what we need to do as Christians. It's literally in church. I feel like there's always three conclusions to a preach. Spend time with Jesus in the secret place, read your Bible, and continuously read your Bible, and pray. If you're doing those three things, I feel like your life is going to be a little bit easier. I feel like things are just going to flow so much better. It's going to feel great. So definitely be praying continuously. So that is Ephesians 6. I'm sure you guys have your own takeaways, and please do let me know your own takeaways. I was also going to quickly just read to you the Message version of this verse, because I just love the way the Message Bible frames things, and I thought to finish us off, we'll just read this. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's all over, but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential. In this ongoing warfare, pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. And don't forget to pray for me. It's a nice way to end. But yeah, that was Ephesians 6. Hope that spoke to you. If you have any of your own comments, feel free to tell me them. Tell a friend. Maybe read Ephesians 6 with your friend today. Maybe go check out Recognize and see how they're helping the stuff that they're reminding you about modern slavery. You know, maybe talk to your youth pastor or your church pastor about how your church cares about modern slavery. Maybe, you know, today, before you get up, maybe it's the first thing in the morning, maybe it's the end of the day, maybe literally physically put on the armor of God. Just literally have a physical moment where you say, I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I pick up the sword of the spirit. I put on the belt of truth. You know, just put it all on right now. Have your shield of faith. Put it literally on right now. Like, physically do it. But yeah, that is Ephesians 6. We'll see you next week, where I think we're going to be going into my 5 favorite psalms. But yeah, bless you guys. Bye.